Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio.
Welcome to Shungite Reality. It is August 26, 2025. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condit and Mark Joseph. So, Mark, say hi, and then we'll have Derek start talking about some of the things that are happening in his life. Mark?
Hey, Nancy. Hey, Derek. Everybody, good to be here.
Yes. Okay, Derek.
Hello, everybody. I'm happy to be here, too. I'm just in here jotting down some notes so I can catch everybody up. Okay, I'm done. Yeah, we got a few updates for this show or topics to talk about. And we're going to be, well, I guess that's kind of often we're all over the place. At least I am. But what I want to talk about first, Nancy and Mark, was what I tapped a little bit before the show. Let me open this website. We're looking for, so I'm talking about the Natural Beekeeper's Path nonprofit. So that's a nonprofit, and I won't go into the whole story again, but I started shortly after that, you know, 300 beehives accident that happened up here in Washington State few months ago. So what we're doing is I've put together the National Beekeeper Emergency Response Network. I'm trying not to make this too confusing, but what it is it's a, again, nonprofit, and it's a network for emergency beekeeper responders. So when accidents like that happen, and just real quickly, what it was a semi truck, for those that don't know, a semi truck stacked high with 300 beehives that had an accident and the beehives slipped off. And there was just millions of bees lost in that. And that video and story can be seen or read, both actually, because again, the video's there, at thenaturalbeekeeperspath.com. So that's where all of this is that I'm talking about. So what we're doing is putting together a network, and that's exactly what we're calling it, the National Beekeeper Emergency Response Network. So beekeepers, and you don't have to be a beekeeper, but it'd be preferred, because then you can have a bee suit and all that kind of stuff ready. But beekeepers along the transport routes for these, they're called migratory beehives. And you've maybe seen them if you've been on the highways at certain times of the years and certain highways. But if not, you're going to see basically a flatbed semi-truck that's stacked high, probably 6 foot high, the whole thing with beehives. And then they better be always netted as well, that keeps most of the bees in there. But that's usually what happens when they transport these, and then those will get in accidents. So we're making a list. And Nancy and Mark, what I just found out 2 days ago kind of amazed me, because when I set up this nonprofit and the website, I had it automated. I have it running through Google Documents and Google Sheets. So when beekeepers sign up, which is what we're looking for here, to be part of the network in their area, it's automated and done, and I don't necessarily get notified unless I need to access that. But I happened to go in there and look the other day, and we've got signups from beekeepers across the nation already that are just finding out about this information. And I'm going to bring it back around, because that's where we need the bee ambassadors to help us even further. Because it is working and doing great, but we need a lot more because the transport routes are far and wide. And, you know, we really need beekeepers ready to respond, just peppered throughout. So it's not just a response network, again, to where if there's an accident, beekeepers that have the proper suits and equipment. Because I'll kind of give you an insight, everyone. If we don't have beekeepers like that showing up on these accidents, or if there's, and there's lots of different accidents that can happen with beehives, even if they're just in a field and it's a large scale field, wild animals can go through there. Sometimes vandalism from people. Well, they need help as well. And if we don't have people ready to respond with the proper suits in those areas, then we're going to have just like we had millions of losses of bees because it's just not. And often these truck drivers, like in the case of the one I responded to, they don't even have a bee suit themselves. The guy was actually wearing flip-flops, and it didn't make it too well from that. So we need to have those response kits that I'll get into in a moment available. So it's not just a response network where we're looking for beekeepers, but it's also I've put together an emergency response plan, which is free on the website already. So an accident, hopefully it doesn't, but if it happens tomorrow, as long as, and that's where their ambassadors come in too, we need the local sheriff departments and other first responders to know about this because they can click a button on this website and download a PDF telling them what to do. Because if they don't know about this or have the emergency beekeeper responders showing up or nearby, often the fire department comes out, hooks up their foam, and just foams all the bees so that they don't, have other issues after that. But that kills all the bees. So that's definitely something we want to try and avoid. And that's a typical response because they don't have another response. So the firemen will actually get in their hazmat suits, which is the only thing that'll keep most of the bees out while they foam them and kill them. But now that we get this, the Natural Beekeepers Path nonprofit going, again, hopefully we'll have these responders peppered throughout the US. And again, it's already happening, but we need a lot more. And then we need to let, again, first responders know about this free plan that's on the website they can download. And the kits, by the way, what we want to get is, and I'll be, excuse me, putting together an image of this and a list. But in essence, think a large duffel bag. That's going to be our first responder kits that we want to, we're trying to generate donations either from the manufacturers of this equipment or individuals who want to help save the bees and support them monetarily. And then it is a nonprofit, as I mentioned. But with the duffel bag, we want to put in there a bee suit because in the accident, again, I responded to the sheriff's department, the tow truck drivers, and nobody could get near the scene because of, again, it was 14 million-ish bees from those 300 hives. And that's a lot. And I actually, if you haven't seen it, recommend going to that website, thenaturalbeekeeperspath.com, and viewing that video. It's the only one like it. Other video hasn't been captured like this. So it's really unique to see and just see the extreme intensity of the scene. But those responder kits will, if we get enough donations, which is what we're working on, we're going to put them together and provide them to, again, first responders and sheriff's departments initially along the known bee transport routes, because that's going to have the highest amount of potential accidents. But we want to get them to, other police departments and, other, again, first responders. And they'll have the suit, they'll have EpiPens in there, duct tape, and I won't get into the whole spiel here, but think duct tape because you, even if you have a full bee suit on, you still have to duct tape where the gloves meet the suit or the boots, and because the bees, as you'll see even in that video, and we were all suited up and duct taped, somehow bees found their way in the suits. So I'm just kind of pointing that out so you know how important it is to have these things available, because if that truck driver who jumped out of the truck after this accident happened and the bees were on top of him instantly, he didn't have any paramedics that could go help him. They had no way. They couldn't get close. So it was. Think, imagine, don't imagine too much, but put yourself in that scene. That's not a really good scenario. So we want to have that these transport drivers also have one of these emergency kits as well. And it's going to have a lot more than just a bee suit and EpiPens and things like that. But that's something that's necessary. So really would help that guy out, would help the sheriff's department. So the deputies that were there when I showed up, they were getting stung all over the place. And they were at least 300 feet away, probably further than that. And it was still getting there, having issues. And no tow trucks could show up because they couldn't even get out of their tow trucks to do anything. So that was kind of the starting point for the nonprofit, seeing that there was a need after I, randomly showed up at one of these things, and saw what was happening.
Derek, why didn't they call in the fire department? Because you were like an hour or so after the accident, right?
Yeah. I was at least an hour after. It's they were going to if they didn't have beekeeper showing up. So that's when I got in touch. So I was notified, and then I immediately reached out to the sheriff's department from that local area. I was real quickly after I told them I was a beekeeper and all that, and transferred to the person on scene again, hundreds of feet away, as she made it real clear. And when I as I saw why, because they were still that far away, bees everywhere. If it didn't get. It wasn't on a major highway, Nancy. So the thing was, if it was Interstate 5 or Interstate whatever, and it was actually stopping a bunch of traffic, it would have been a bigger thing. Yes, firemen brought him right away with foam and stuff. But because it was on a rural farming community, there were other ways around this, that, and the other. So it wasn't the biggest deal. And it wasn't a big panic time-wise. So it's all relative to where the accident happens. They got lucky, I'm throwing air quotes up here, that the accident happened literally, what, 10 feet from the field? I mean, it was as he was pulling out of the actual field. There's a gully. I know you know this, but it's for listeners, where the truck just took too tight of a turn. The back axles went into this small 4-foot ditch and everything slid off. And they were strapped down. But when you have, I don't even know how many thousands of pounds, because, and these were full hives, because I lifted them, full of honey, brood, and bees. So they weren't new hives or empty. That's I don't even know how many tons. So they broke the straps and the netting, and you'll see all that for again the listeners when they go to the website. The kind of disaster there. But so that's one thing I wanted to bring up. But what we're doing is we're looking for, well, I'm calling it bee ambassadors, and there's no formal sign up process or anything like that. I mean, we would appreciate knowing, but really we need anyone anywhere that's listening to this, and then to recommend or share this episode at least of the podcast or information, that to contact local beekeepers, bee groups, let anyone you know about the nonprofit, because it's something that's going to affect all of us. A third of the food we eat, we can thank the bees for pollination. So no, it's a big deal thing, and it's a way that there's a lot of people think, well, how can I help the bees? I can't be a beekeeper. I can't have hives. And maybe you don't have energy in the form of money. Well, that's okay, because now you can just share the information and let people know about it, because then we'll have beekeepers signing up for this. So another way to kind of spin it is, it would make sense for all of us to share this beekeeper network with others and the plan, so that if one of these accidents happens in our area, and really any area, will potentially have an emergency first responder there, beekeeper first responder, and they're on our network. So I'm gonna kind of elaborate on that a little bit. When an accident happens, there's a 24-hour phone call they can make. So there's a number they can call. It'll come to our phones directly, Jalissa and mine, again, any time of day, and we'll jump on the computer and pull up the list in the background and give them a phone number and contact points for the beekeepers in that area. And it's some that we've signed up that have vehicles, extra beehives. So maybe they have an apiary already, or a bee business of some type where they sell beehives. Regardless, we're looking for any of that. So in your area, whomever is listening, we'd appreciate you reaching out to anybody or bee companies. Again, there's lots of ways of finding them, and just letting them know and saying, hey, we just want to be in this first response. And it's free. I mean, it's a nonprofit. We don't charge anything, of course, because they're part of the network in responding. So, and you're not committed to anything. So anybody that does this doesn't have to show up. It's just saying, hey, I got a suit. I'll show up if it's within this distance. And all of that is in the sign-up form that's already on the website. So that's the thing happening, that again, we're calling them bee ambassadors, but they're really doing more than that. So it's a way to help support the bees or save the bees without having to, donate money, or even leave your house. So that's we'd appreciate any help with that.
Let
I don't
me
know.
ask you,
Go ahead.
something. How many bee trucks do you suppose are out there moving bees around?
Hundreds, not thousands, but hundreds, lots. There's a lot. Okay, well, better than anybody, because you're on these drives with me on the phone, you typically. I do a lot of driving up and down the coast. I go through a lot of states, the entire length. So I'm not just, and I know you know this, I'm not just talking about Oregon. I'll go down to Arizona, I'll go further, Colorado. And long story short, I see a lot more of these trucks than, and I can look at it from a different perspective, before my trips and whatnot, I go, oh, well, man, maybe I saw two trucks like that in my lifetime, one in this year, that year. When I do my trips, now, and it's not the same truck I'm seeing or anything like that, of course. No, and of course, depends on the time of year, but I'll see, I don't know, a dozen or two dozen in a day, especially if I'm going through California. They're huge fields, and they can only carry 300 to 400 beehives on a flatbed truck, which is a massive amount. But that one friend of mine down there has 20,000 hives. I don't want to do the math now and bore everybody, but and those hives move, by the way. They're not all staying there. They're migratory hives. So for 1 week, him and his guys will be over in this 5,000 acres moving these hives and either taking honey out or moving them to a different field. Or no, it's many, many hundreds, Nancy. So it's not as, but I could definitely see the perspective if you're not doing these type of drives, and if you're not, you don't know the beekeepers like I do. You just don't know that they do move. So it's a lot more than people think. So I'm trying to get that point across. And it's all through the US. It's not, oh, it's just a thing from California up and down the way. No, it's everywhere. These were going, okay, Washington, the accident I'm talking about here, where there was 300 hives, were going from Washington State. They were on blueberries there, and they were going to, I believe, after Miami, Nashville, I think it was North Carolina or something, or South Dakota, the other side of the country. So it's not like they were just moving to a field in a local county here. It was several states away.
I wonder what the accident statistics are because I'm assuming that there's an insurance company, behind the trucker, if not the farm itself.
Most aren't reported. Also, I'll tell you that too. I found out during this because they don't need to be. They can be reported to insurance. That doesn't matter. There's not a database because I checked on how many bee trucks flip in a year and blah blah blah. Not a thing. You can't. You can try and search the news articles, but even that, it's more of a local thing. So unless it gets big attention like this one did, because I happened to get the video and they had something to actually show for it. But most of the time, it's a blip saying truck with bees, and they make up a huge number that's usually not accurate, and that happened in this case too, just because a beekeeper wasn't involved initially.
So essentially, the insurance companies will just pay it rather than deal with it.
Yeah, well, it depends on the beekeeper. I mean, what who's so we're talking about, in essence, figuring out how many of these happen. You're not, because who's going to report? They don't need to report it. Their the hives are damaged or
Well,
done.
no, because what I'm wondering is if an insurance company wouldn't be interested in supporting you guys because they could save money.
Possibly. I mean, maybe you find the right insurance company and they decide, well, like, this, maybe it's more money to write it off as a loss. I have a, here's a little thing for you. You may not know, or I may not have said, but I have a friend who also works for the power company. I'll just keep it vague, like power company. And he was telling me, because we were talking about a utility pole. Most people call them telephone poles, but the utility poles with all the stuff on them. And it was getting ready to break. And I said, yeah, well, that one's obviously breaking. Don't you guys replace them? He goes, oh, no. We wait for storms. We wait anything but replace them. We want it to come down in any other way, so the insurance has to pay for it.
Yeah, I know I got caught in that. That's exactly what they were
Well, I
thinking
knew you
about
knew.
my property. Hey, the thing is falling down. And it took 6 months for anybody to come and fix it. And when they were fixing it, it fell to the ground. Luckily, the power was off.
Yeah. So that's a thing.
But
Yeah.
I'm just confirming what you're saying is true. I've had the experience.
Yeah, so the other, I don't know, Mark or Nancy, if you guys have any other questions on the whole natural beekeeper's path. I keep saying everybody repeating the name because it's a really long name. I know that. So, but yeah, and the rest of the information's up there. Soon I'll have a, for them, speaking to the future potential ambassadors here, which means just grab the reins and go with it, and we appreciate it. I'm gonna have a printable or downloadable that you can print PDF explaining a lot more of this stuff to you, for you, so you can have more information at hand when you're talking to, let's say, a local beekeeper or a bee shop or something like that. So you don't have to try and, well, wait, what did Derek say, and memorize the whole spiel. So that'll be happening soon. If you just check that website. Then the other, do we want to jump into my, the,
Yeah.
let's do that. So what we're talking about here, and really everything ties in one way or another, believe it or not. I've started a a new business, and I'm gonna spiel it out so you all can start this if you want to. Type of, well, it's a business in your area if you want, but what I'm doing is, because it's very important, is I've the company's actually called Home Health Inspections, and it's based here in Washington State. And I'm only going to the local three counties, Nancy. So it's, within, I don't know, 100 miles. I don't even know if that would be 100 miles, 60, but within reason. And what I'm going to do, and this is just the first phase of it, because there's going to be other levels. But, and I've actually got flyers already printed up, but I'm going to take in my meters, my equipment. I have lots of, so those that have listened to the podcast over the years probably have heard me talk about all kinds of what I call toys, from EMF meters to RF meters to Geiger counters, all sorts of things. I'll get into each of them if we want to, but I'm going to take all of those meters and test kits and things with me and do home inspections. So I'll find, for example, if I come to your house and I do the home inspection, first thing I'm going to do, seal off every room in the house, meaning shut the door, shut the windows, turn off the fans, because I've got mold test kits. And it's, so you're going to put little petri dishes in there in each room for at least an hour, let the ambient air fall into there so you'll get a good reading of each isolated room from each other. And then, so that's one thing that'll happen initially. And because they have to sit for an hour is why I'm saying I'll do that right off the bat, which, isn't all that exciting to me. It's very important. But the exciting part, the fun part that I'm into is the,
Hold on,
go
hold
ahead.
on. You
Yeah.
were talking about mold. I think you need to tell people about mold because most people don't know that you can be getting sick because you got a sick house.
Yeah, no, you're right. And slow me down anytime, because I don't know how much to get into all this. But yeah, what I'm testing for is mold and fungus. So mold's a type of fungus that grows in damp or humid areas. And it often appears as black, green, white patches on surfaces, and it has a musty odor. And it's often comes from damage to buildings. So if you haven't, doesn't have to be an older house, because a newer house can be damaged. So definitely, if anybody's thinking, well, I got a newer house, no problem. Nope, not the case. There's mold or fungus spores everywhere in our environment. You're not going to avoid them unless you have a clean room, and we don't. So what I'm saying is, then you don't want to give it that in extra environment to set up, shop, to start growing and expanding. And that's that damage I'm talking about, to building materials. If you have damage on your siding or your roof and water's getting in there, the ones that, we typically think of. But it causes health issues, everything from allergies to asthma, respiratory irritation, and depending on how much you're breathing of what type, I mean, it can be deadly. That's a thing. So I've actually been testing, well, after this podcast, I'm going to walk out in the garage, I mean, Mr. Coyers, walk out in the garage, because I've been testing here and my home for these already. And I let the mold test kits, again, they're petri dishes, grow in essence for about 4 days. And by the, okay, remember, I have full disclosure, everything. Buy these things yourself online. And I'm just gonna, I'm not a big fan of Amazon, but they're on there. So again, I'm just disclosing everything. You can buy these little, and just type in mold test kit. It's a petri dish. You just open up the lid, set it somewhere. So it's not real technical. It's easy to do. And then you're gonna shut the lid, and I'm gonna, again, just truncate the whole thing. Let it grow for a few days. They'll give you a piece of paper, the company, with, and these are like, I don't know, 20, 30 bucks, and you're gonna do your whole house, everybody. You're gonna get a handful of these dishes. There's different versions, so that's why I'm not telling you a name or a, just do your research online. They're not real expensive. And you do not have to send these away to a lab. A lot of them will say that, because simply let the mold grow, look at it, and they'll give you a guide with full color images that you can say, well, it looks like that one. And then if you're like, not too sure, take a photo with your phone, email it to them, most companies, so that's why I was just saying them, will then tell you what it is. So easy thing for anybody to do without bringing in somebody like me. But that's just one of the things that I'm doing there, because I'm also testing, and our radar alarm went off this morning, as a matter of fact, Nancy. So we test for radon, which is a colorless, odorless, radioactive gas. And when it comes from, and this can be found everywhere, by the way, it comes from the breakdown. So there's uranium, which is radioactive, and it's natural. So it's yellow if you see a lot of it. And I've come across it because I'm a miner and gold prospector as well. So when you dig in, you find this stuff. And it's yellow. But basically, it's the breakdown of that uranium that's found in soil and rock. And it enters, so basically, right on anywhere that I'm just being real clear, it can be in Florida, it can be in Washington, anywhere in between. So it's not a state thing, it's just an earth thing. That gas will come up and it goes through the cracks in the foundation and it gathers. And it's the second leading cause of lung cancer. Smoking, of course, the first. So this is the second. And many people have never even heard of radon, or if they had, they didn't know what it was. And not just a learning curve there, but that's a thing that we test for as well. And there again, everything I'm talking about, you can buy these devices. It's going to add up because I do a lot of devices and testing and put it all together. But if you're interested or worried about any one of these things, and I'm far from over on this list, you can get these meters, devices, test kits, test strips, depending on the test we're talking about, online for relatively cheap, most of them. When we get into my RF radio frequency and EMF meters and things, those can be a little more high. But these first ones I'm getting at here are not. A lot are in certain devices called air quality meters or testers. And they'll include, here's the next one that we'll test for, formaldehyde.
Okay,
Formaldehyde.
let me go back to
Yeah.
the radon for a
Yep.
second, because there are areas of the country that it's required that you have a radon meter in your house,
Sure.
normally in the basement.
Yep. It's heavier than air, so that's why she's saying basement, everyone, because it does go down. Doesn't mean you're safe from it if you don't lay on the floor, but think of all your pets and animals, even if you don't have a basement. I'm glad you mentioned that, Nancy. So even if you just had a house, well, where do you think your cat and dog are typically sleeping? On the floor, usually. So it is important, is what I'm saying. So I'm glad you mentioned that because it is mandatory. And I'll be doing these inspections for houses. Again, it's called home health inspections, is LLC would be the full name, because you want this type of test done if you're living there and or if you're buying a house. So, and if you're a realtor, you want one of these run before you sell a house so you can show your potential buyers, look, we tested for all this. And then the formaldehyde that I was getting into, it's a colorless gas, and it's released from building materials. It's released from furniture, household products, things like that. Because when I thought formaldehyde, I'm thinking, wait, isn't that something they put in corpses or things like that? I had no idea. I'm talking about years ago. Now, it's luckily there's inexpensive tests and meters and things, again, you can get to test for this because it is something that comes from our furniture. We don't have to think about that, but all those parts and pieces and plastic and things that make up your couch and Lazy Boy and whatever else is in our houses, those off gas things. And that's usually in the form of formaldehyde. And long-term exposure has been linked to cancer. So yes, our furniture can give you cancer. That's a thing. It doesn't mean throw all your furniture out and live on a wood pallet, that kind of deal. But at least test for this stuff because maybe you do have one a piece of furniture that's older or whatever reason. But it's worth knowing. So formaldehyde is another one we test for, and then.
Okay, what do you do about fluoride?
I haven't even gotten in the water
I
test.
mean fluorine. What we're talking about?
Oh, formaldehyde?
Formaldehyde. Thank you.
Oh, okay. You test for it first and you see if it's a thing, and then you're going to start trying to isolate and see what piece of furniture it potentially is coming from. So, and then that, if it, you just have to see if it's an issue. And then ventilation is just okay. Good questions. And adding in radon to this. So if somebody goes, oh, my radon thing went off. Oh, time to move. Better get out of that. No, there's devices, basically a fan that you can put up in different areas. And usually this one's lower because radon. Now, formaldehyde disperses evenly among the air. So it's not a lower in the air table kind of deal here. But radon is heavy. So there's different fans you would hook up that would, base, long story short, it will circulate the air and get it out of there because you're not getting rid of radon. It's natural. It's going to be there. You just don't want too much of it. And then formaldehyde, nah. Yeah, turn on a fan, open your windows, but no, you got to get rid of the thing off gassing. And no, there's not a way that I know if you can just hold a meter up to it. And it's no, because it disperses evenly, like I said. So then I say move a piece of furniture, look around. Like I'm looking at a couch, and mine's leather though. But so if you had a plastic couch, I mean, look at that stuff. But that's so, and those things, and I'm not even done with that one yet. But because there's VOCs we're going to talk about, which are volatile organic compounds, which are gases that are released from paints, household products, cleaning supplies, floors, even furniture, just like formaldehyde. And they build up and do all kinds of things, cause irritation of the nose, throat. I talk about that a little bit with shungite beehives. That's why you want to use low VOC paint, low volatile organic compounds. Basically, just think of it, there's stuff that makes paint, the ingredients that makes what we call paint, the liquid stuff. Well, it off gases invisible stuff, and that's what you want to avoid. So then when you do in painting your house, you want the low VOCs. I can go on an hour on that one. You definitely don't want it. So other, and then we also test for particulate levels, be it 1 micron, 2.5, 10, lower. So basically the invisible stuff floating in the air. So if there's a fire nearby, or it doesn't even have to be a fire because just stuff in the air. I mentioned fire because we live in the woods and the forest, and that's typically a thing. But yeah, and so we test for that. How much stuff are your lungs and your family's and pets' lungs having to clear out of the air around you? That's worth knowing. And then we're also, remember the formaldehyde test, the radon, and then we also check for radiation and mold. Those are the tests that will tell us what that stuff is that you're breathing in. So we're kind of hitting on all levels here. And then the radiation. So I've got multiple Geiger counters. That's radon gas. I mean, that's what radiation comes from, is it's a natural source, is radon gas. So certain types of stone or concrete building materials, off gas that, by the way, radiation, because that's what radon, worth going through. Uranium is the physical stuff in the ground that's radioactive that we take and use in nuclear power plants and get the energy off of. As that naturally breaks down, just in our environment, and it's everywhere, it turns into what we're calling radon gas. The effect that the radon gas has in your lungs is radiation. Okay, so I know it's kind of a lot, but so the radiation we're testing for is, yeah, we tested for radon, remember, the actual thing giving off the radiation, if that makes sense. But now we're testing to see if there's that same effect we're calling radiation in the environment, because it also comes off of, like I said, concrete building, because that's rock. As rock breaks down, there's uranium. So, and we don't typically think about that. And it's also radiation will come from antique clocks. You got an antique clock in your house? Test that thing. Smoke detectors, especially any of the older ones, radioactive. There's a lot, and I can go on and on in that one for another podcast too. So there's a reason I'm bringing in a high-end sensitive Geiger counter to test for various radiation, because there's natural radiation outside as well, ambient radiation, and I'll remove that. Excuse me. But you want to definitely avoid elevated or long-term exposure from the radons and other things because of the radiation effect it has on you, which lung cancer. There's a pattern going on here. I've said a whole lot about lung cancer going on in here. So that's a thing, and these are what we're testing for. And then also, as we go through, I'm checking now. I didn't really talk about the EMF part. So that's what I'm going to go through, is, and everything is included. This is what we're going to do, what I'm going to do. I have multiple, and I won't get into all that, meters and gauges and devices that I'll walk through, because some read for different wavelengths. And again, some are what's called RF, radio frequency, some are EMF, electromagnetic frequency, different ones. So different channels in our environment, I'll word it that way. And I'm going to go in there and see if any of those channels, frequencies or energy bands are heightened. And if so, where in the house? And then I want to know what it is, because I don't want to just test your air for, oh, there's particulates. I want to know what those particulates are. That's why I was talking about formaldehyde and radon and everything else. Same OCD approach to the invisible stuff in your house we call energy, be it radiation or electromagnetic, or again. So I'm gonna go through with multiple meters, check everything from outlets to your switches, because believe it or not, I found almost across the board, when I test a light switch in your house, just literally switch to turn on your lights and compare it to an open outlet, the light switch is almost always worse. And you're thinking, well, outlet open, it's just shooting that stuff out of there. And to a degree, yeah, it's only so far, but that's a thing. But the thing that really caught my attention was, again, the switches. It's usually because of poor wiring. And you'll never know that, because it's not like, usually at least, you're not turning on your switch and getting shocked. I hope not. So you're not going to really know, but that's a thing. Your light switches are a huge, potential source for EMF and radiation. And then with the, I'm also testing for nuclear radiation detection, which is X-rays, gamma rays, beta. These are different channels or versions of energy. I need, again, like I say, 50 words for the word energy, to really get my point across. But yeah, so we'll be checking for that, those heightened energy centers. So let's say you have a couch in your house. Well, then I'm gonna, and most people do, I'm gonna check that couch with these meters and gauges where you sit and see if that spot or space in that environment is a safe one for you, because maybe there's a fuse box on the outside of that wall, or maybe there's an outlet that's poorly wired, or maybe the wiring through the house isn't insulated because the house is how many years old. So there's a lot of recipes that come together in that, and I'll be able to isolate them and tell you that. And there's fixes, so it's not like I'm gonna say panic, 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 and put red stickers everywhere and then walk out. No, I'm gonna tell you what you can do, and everything I'm talking about here, shungite has an effect on one way or another. And I'm still not even done with all the testing, because I've got FLIR devices, which are forward-looking infrared. So I'll look for energy loss on your windows, your doors, vents. There's lots of spaces, even the floors and ceilings. So that's another thing that I'll be checking for. But I'm gonna jump back to EMF, because that's, it matters, because let's say you have a new baby coming in the house. Well, there are certain zones in certain rooms you don't want a little one sleeping, or even yourself, regardless if it's a baby or not. So you, I'll be able to identify hot spots, as I'll call them, in that area. And then, yes, attenuate them with shungite, and depending on what we're talking about here, be it an outlet or a device, because sometimes these devices, maybe you have a house and there's a bedroom, two bedrooms, and each kid has a TV of their own and an Xbox on either side of that same wall. Well, there's only about 4 or 5 inches of not much, let me tell you. And if it's an interior wall, it's not even insulated. So you're talking about a couple of sheets of drywall in there, in that gap. Again, maybe 3 inches at best in there. Well, imagine the hot spot that that's going to generate by it just being amplified there. So I'll look for spots or things like that. And then again, you can recommend, like, hey, get that one, put it on that wall. Because if they have to have their TV, and I get it, welcome to 2025. We all have these things, and I'm no different. So then let's at least be aware and get them away. And then let them remind people that, hey, all these hotspots and devices and things, including your Wi-Fi router, do not need to be on at night. And I'm not talking about, so your TV's on even if it's plugged in, everyone. I don't know if you know that, but that's a thing. It is absolutely on. Is it projecting an image on that OLED screen or whatever type you have, or LED? No, but it doesn't matter. You can still get these readings, and I do it with my my meters and testing devices. So if you can unplug them, and easy enough too. You don't have to walk around and unplug your whole house at night. And I get a, hopefully I have a surge protector anyway, because I'll just tell you, especially from running a business, multiple now, you want any electronic in some kind, not just a power strip, it has to say surge on it, a surge protector. So back to what I was just talking about, then you just hit the surge protector when you go to bed, and you got four or five whatever things plugged into that, and then turn them back on. So at least that time when you're in that space, and I'll show people this, I'll go around, unplug everything, show them my meter, hold it in the space, and they'll see the lights going off or not. And sometimes these meters and gauges have sound. But I'll definitely get the point across that, look, heightened environment, even with all this stuff off, and you're sleeping in this. We often think, well, it's all off, I'm good to go. No, not the case. It depends. So that'll be some of the stuff I do with the, and then you're, oh my gosh, my Nancy and Mark, our It was amazing. I thought it was actually a defective device. I'm talking about an EMF meter of mine. So I grabbed three others I have to test this. The digital console, I guess you'd call it, the keypad, there you go, on the microwave and on a coffee pot. So I'm just talking about coffee pot not on, microwave not on. And I test for those as well. The keypad itself was blasting so much radio. It was a couple feet from microwave in here. I'll just go with that one. Was several feet. It was, I don't know, 2.5 feet. I'm gonna get a little more OCD on it and test it and get it on video. But just a microwave alone, not even on, it blew my mind, the amount of energy. And it's just an LED keypad. I had no idea where it's coming from. But you know, and we definitely don't know everything, so that's why I'm gonna go then through your whole house. And let's bring it back to the baby one. The well, if you have little ones, well, baby monitors, you know, often they're way too close to the bed, or the crib where the little ones are, or something like that. It's and all that's where I'll bring in my again RF and the EMF meters and test that because it's different wavelengths depending if you're using video. And that's also what these meters will test for any heightened frequency, so RF in the environment, no matter what, and then tell me what it is. So even if that's a neighbor has some super powered Wi-Fi. Whatever outside, who knows? I'll be able to tell you that as well. And it's worth knowing because then you'd want your bed off of that wall and you'd want it on the other wall of your room if one of these things were happening outside. So again, I'm not going to go in there and just, you know, I make fun of it, red sticker everything and say, danger, danger, and walk out. I'm going to give you ways of affecting it. And then if it's under, so for example, let's, and there's a lot of it's ground currents or stray currents, it's called, that can occur if you have power lines nearby or some other house isn't grounded right. So what I'm saying is there's literal electricity, and probably everybody here listening to this knows that. There's natural electricity in the ground, but I'm talking about stray ground currents, which are excess ones, and they've actually been known to kill livestock. And if you get too many metal fences in a line, that stray currents I'm talking about, and I talk about shungite beehives, it can actually make a zone in there and electrocute them, livestock, animals. People. So there's, you want to know about that as well. So if that's a thing, there's, you know, we can get shungite paints involved. You can get shungite rubber. And then shungite's also a fix for a lot of these other things, of course, from stickers to, because, you know, let's go with the coffee one. I want my coffee in the morning. Well, then I'm going to be smart enough not to, and the same with the microwave. Don't stand next to it if you're going to use it. And also know that anything, you know, you put in that microwaves, it's energetically dismantling it anyway, but that's another podcast. But stay away from physically. So don't stand there and wait for your whatever to microwave or your coffee to cook. Just back up. Lamps too, big one, especially old lamps. I talked about clocks a little bit that are radioactive, but lamps of any kind that we're usually sitting under them, that's the point of light, often harmful. And Nancy, you'll probably appreciate this, but I'll actually checking for blue light in the space. So, because there's set levels that come off, not just the monitor in front of me right now or my cell phone or something else, but the different light sources that are just in the environment from the accumulation of light in your house. So there is a general zone that you'd want to be in or not. And then you would know how to affect that by changing different light bulbs, because then I'd zero in with a spectrometer. Oh, well, that light's pulling too much of blue light spectrum, and you might want to swap that out. So again, ways to fix all this. And then I'm almost done here. And believe me, this is all included and all done in one visit. Now, it takes about 4 days or 5 days for the mold to for the spores to germinate and grow enough to where you can see them. But I've got a microscope right here, so that's the only delay. But I jump into the water as well, because of course that's important. So I bring in TDS meters, which it's called a total dissolved solid meter. Basically, it will tell me how many little things are in your drinking water, parts and pieces. But you know me, I don't want to just know the parts and pieces or what energy is harming us. I want to know where it's coming from. What, which one is it? Is it? So I bring in, I'll test the water. So yeah, I'll see, is there stuff in the water and parts and pieces, things, and let you know that, and then teach you how to remedy it. And there's various, depending on the result, filtration levels people can use from, you know, RO to filtered ones, or shungite water as well for the energy part of it, not filtering part of it. But I'll test for nitrates, toxins. There's probably on And again, you guys can do this too. Get online, buy some water quality test strips. Just type that in and read. They'll cost you maybe 15 bucks. It's a little test strip that you just stick under the water for a second, hold it up to the guide on the container, and it's a color guide. It's that easy. And it'll say high or low or blah, blah, blah. And if any one of those things are too off, search engine it. I'm trying to get away from saying Google it. So search engine it and say, well, tell me more. What does this mean? Then maybe you need to bring somebody in, or maybe you don't, but you'll at least be aware. And I also test the soil, Nancy. So I have a soil test kit for different things, just not just electrical charge, but nitrites, pH level, things like that, because there's ways to fix that too. If the previous homeowner, let's say, or a neighbor sprays Roundup weed killer everywhere, and it is going to transfer over into your yard, or it was directly sprayed on your yard, let's say, well, shungite powder, or shungite powder, the whole thing, and you're going to get rid of it. That's going to absolutely have an effect on that. So again, we give you the fixes as well. And then the mold, I jumped past that one too quick. The fixes there is I have a, we've talked about it, but a large industrial ozone generator. So then if this one room tests too much for mold, and it's all surface mold or air mold spores in the air we're testing for, well then, and again, you can do this yourself. You can get an ozone machine and take any living thing out of that room, that entire house, if you're going to do this, by the way, including fish. You cannot have a fish tank in there. And then ozone the space, and you're going to kill all bacteria, mold, fungus, spiders, bugs, anything like that will die in that heightened ozone environment. And or let's say it was a smoker's house, something like that, and you want to get rid of that scent. Well, no big deal. You can do that with the ozone machine.
The one problem with the ozone, industrial ozone, is that you have to be very aware that if you're doing a high concentration of the ozone, your electronics can be affected by it. They
It
can.
takes a while for that. So you would just want, that's an issue if, I'd say every week you're doing it or something. Well, yeah. But the 1, 4, 8, 12 hour session that we do doesn't have any effect. But you're right.
I would never go that high, that long. And I'll tell you why. Because some guy took one of those things and stuck it in his car and turned it on. And he wasn't away from it. I mean, it wasn't like 8 hours. It was a much less time. I don't remember what the time was. But he destroyed his car.
Wonder how
All
much time he did that for. No, because I'm talking about whole rooms here. So mine's not. No, don't stick a big industrial ozone in a car. In a car, I'd have it on for 10 minutes. I don't know. Even I wouldn't even put my big one in there. But it's all relative. But no, this is the way it's done by companies and buildings. No, it's. I know what you're saying. So, but no.
That's why I'm just warning people that, okay, yes, Derek's telling you that you can do it yourself, but by God, if you're going to do it yourself, do some research. This is not
Absolutely.
simple stuff,
Well, most people don't own the type of machine I'm talking about, so it's not really going to be an issue. They're
Well, yeah,
small
but
car ones.
you can get an industrial ozone thing on Amazon for less than 100, well, less than $150. And I know people will say, well, I can get one and I can do it anytime I want. I don't need Derek. Well, maybe you do because you might be stupid and do something that you don't. I mean, I've worked with this ozone things. I used to sell them, so I know a lot about this stuff. And it's the best thing in the world as long as you realize it's a very powerful ability to clean up all this stuff. You don't need it on for very much, for a very long time. Because the industry, the ones I used to sell were for home use, and you got a very little ozone output compared to what the industrial ones do, and that's what you have to be careful. Don't stumble into buying an industrial one and turning it on for an hour or 2 hours. I'm sorry, it depends on where it is and what you've got in there, but you can do damage to your electronics. That's just a known thing in the industry. Now, whether or not the companies that go out and buy them, I don't know if they do their research or not. Why am I having trouble with all my electronics? You had a guy in here with an ozone device? I mean, you gotta be, you can't just walk into this stuff. However, there are things that right now, before you ever, I mean, you probably, some of you are panicking. Oh my God, my new baby. Go and look at the outside of the house and see where the electric is coming into the house. That's the first thing. Keep your kid away from that. Because that's a powerful amount of electromagnetic. And when I, because I did this professionally back in the 80s, nobody wanted to hear what I was saying. But what I found out in doing these house inspections is that very often, more times than, I mean, it's almost always, you'll find that a bedroom is very close to the panel where the electric line is coming in. So you go into the room and you're feeling tired, you want to go to sleep, and then you get there, you lay down, and all of a sudden you're wide awake. What's causing that? You might have an electromagnetic panel that's into your house on the other side, or it could be your own electronics on the other side of the wall. You just but if you just pay attention to where things are, at least until you can do a really good inspection of your home for its health. I'm talking little kids, children. Their skulls are nowhere near as thick as an adult skull. We can live in an environment that is not good for kids because the kids don't have that thicker skull protection. So, do due diligence and really, really look at your house, not because, oh, it looks like I want it to be that. Take it a little farther. Look a little deeper because you don't want to get yourself into a house that's wonderful. It seems to fit all the categories of what you want, but it's not a healthy place. That's just my, call Derek or somebody like him. But you're not going to find many people like him. I can guarantee it. So good luck with the business. I really think that this is a very important thing that you're doing. You're able to, and the shungite, him knowing about the shungite. When I was doing it back in the 80s, I didn't have shungite. I didn't. I was just doing electromagnetic. And nowadays, we've got the shungite. So yes, oh, you got this here. You better put a shungite sticker on it, or your AC is there. Maybe you need a magnet on it. And all of these things, these shungite products that Derek has, they're not expensive compared to the damage that's being done, because you don't have to replace them. Once they're up, they're up. They don't need cleansing and they don't need clearing and they don't need any of that. So that's just, little plug for you. I think it's very important, Derek. I wish you were closer by, but then I'd be afraid what you might find.
I know that's what people are thinking. Well, that's why I also started this whole spiel on this podcast, saying everybody can do this at home. Even if it's bite-sized pieces, get one, $25 EMF meter. At least it'll tell you if you have a heightened, EMF, going on right there. So, no, people can do stuff even if they can't get somebody like me there.
Yep. Just do your research.
Yep, exactly. Let me
And
see.
some of it's very simple. You get an EMF reader that will tell you a lot about everything. But you got to know how to read it and how to use it. So, yeah. Anything else you wanted to say? Or Mark, do you have any questions?
Yeah, in the business, the career term I think is building biologist, but obviously Derek has the more multidimensional approach, and because of the store he runs, mysticalwares.com, physical and online, he can do so much more, like clearing if there's spirits, ley lines. I know in biogeometry they have all these kinds of grid lines that could interfere, like the movies, stories of building a house on top of burial sites. I mean, those kind of things. And Derek, what's the website? If you could share more of the multidimensional aspect and any practice runs, trial runs you've done that were successful or testimonials that got you going into this.
Yeah, that's interesting that you brought that up because you didn't know. But yeah, I just had somebody come in, a client of mine I've seen for a couple of years, but did a, I don't even remember what I call the thing, but home energy clearing where I went there with shungite. So this person had lots of negative entities around their property visiting them. And she, this person's also very intuitive. So picks up on a lot of stuff. So, and it wasn't good stuff. I'm being vague for a reason, just to keep it really neutral here. Or, I mean, so I don't identify anyone. So went there, did that. And this person came back not too long ago, giving me the feedback. So I did a shungite grid of their property, and then cleared it of, I'll just term it, energies that weren't aligned with them. So, and that was something I can do myself. But then where shungite really helped out was then helping it hold that energy or frequency that was intended. So that's where, and that's what anybody else can do with their shungite. So if you're building what we call a shungite grid, your intention or your thoughts are 90% of that grid. 10% is the black rock you're putting somewhere. That's the thing between the physical and the metaphysical, we'll call it. I know it isn't exact, but it's a way to look at it. So shungite will help you hold that space once you set your intention. And I always like to use the example of the plant study where, and it's been replicated, scientists, you know, put two plants in the lab, talk nice to one, negative to another, and they responded and such, you know, the happy one grew 10 times more than the other one. So, and that's been done many times over, and everybody can do that at home. So it's a thing. And when you remove everything from that, it's just the intention behind the person. Because I'll tell you, what was found out was some of the participants, and again, I'll kind of make fun of this and just go quickly. They were talking nice to the plant that needed the nice energy, see if it would grow, the happy energy. Some of them were thinking about their cat Fluffy at home that they loved, not the plant. And then maybe somebody else was thinking about their favorite car they wanted to go home and work on, and that was their happy thing. Made no difference what the thing was. It was the intention behind it. So, and I know that seems kind of odd, but I'm just saying that because I've been told everything where you have to hold a certain frequency for this long and all sorts of stuff. But really, just have the overall thought, use your shungite, put it in the area, decide that, like the example I was using, that there's no entities or negative energy left from, you know, previous cycles. You can call it whatever you want in your head, everyone. And that's what I found out over the years is there's no set recipe for any of this. It's just really us figuring out a way to wrap our head around it and make up our own language. So then I'm defaulting on the word intention. So then decide that, well, it's good for you. So if you love butterflies, imagine butterflies flying everywhere. It doesn't matter, but set that intention when you're doing the shungite grid. So
Well,
and you go ahead.
it's intention, but it's also you're putting out the love energy, you know?
No, that's what I'm saying. Basically, you're setting a frequency, so I get to
Right,
visually see
right,
it.
right. So it's not, I mean, if you just think in terms of the feeling of love, you don't
That's
have to,
perfect.
you know, put it through your whole house, the animals, your plants, yourself, the walls around you.
Yep. Any way you can imagine it.
Yep.
Spin it. So, oh yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm saying. So same with the shungite grid. So that's what I did there. And I wasn't going to, I said, I'm again not seeing the person's name, but I said, you know, this is gonna be whatever's, you know, best for this individual and blah, blah, blah. And they went through it and did it. And then basically the results back, you know, everything's calmed down, done, and they're actually moving now, not for a bad reason. Just things align now, things are going right again, and even that, and that shungite that they can think, so that's good result. And that's just a recent one I was told. God, I wish I could say everything on a lot of these things, but I just can't. There's just, I'll just say privacy concerns. And believe it or not, some of it's just too unbelievable. Yeah, it's some of that's, I guess, not for this. One interesting, I'll just tell you this story, Nancy and Mark, real quickly. Is things, so here at Mystical Wares, I was, I don't know, in the rock room, we call one of the rooms, where the 300 something types of polished rocks are to choose from. I was doing something with a large geo down on the floor. I was just, putting something under it, a placemat. That doesn't really matter. And this happened just the other day, and literally in front of me. So not like I was looking away, looked back. A Canadian dime appeared out of no. It was about 3 inches off the ground. I was kneeling down, so I was giving you the whole story. So I was down on this lower shelf, looking down, and then I was looking, deciding whether to move something there. And just like unbelievable, it's like a movie. So that's why I was hesitating when to say something, because it was like, what the? I see crazy stuff, but this straight up, and I don't know if it has what a Canadian dime has to do with anything, or maybe it was just the thing, the entity put there, but it dropped and it was again about 3 inches off the ground. So about that far, it just appeared and then dropped right there in front of me as I was staring at it. That's what I was saying. It wasn't like looking away, look back, and it was there, like it rolled out from somewhere or something.
I
So
wonder what it is with Canadian coins, because
I don't know, they matter.
one day I'm outside and I see something odd, and I go over and I look at it, and it's three Canadian coins, but they were someplace that you wouldn't just have coins. I mean, it's like, no, I didn't see them appear out of nowhere, but they appeared out of nowhere because there wasn't any. I mean, I was always in that area. It's near the scalar, the Cloudbuster. And it was like somebody had placed them there, but Canadian coins. And I'm going, what's the connection to Canadian coins? And then you tell me you had that experience. What does Canada have that we don't know about yet?
I don't know if I had anything to do with that or not. I have no idea. I didn't put anything together yet. I'm just one of those odd things that, and I'm telling you, so many odd things happen right here, but that grabbed my attention because it was literally just like a movie. And I'm like,
Yeah.
okay. It's not the first time something just appeared, but it's not like it's every day or something. I mean, so, and I don't remember why I was going to bring that up, but I
Well,
think
and
that.
also your attention was on it. Your attention, not intention. Attention.
Yeah.
You know, how many times do things come in and we don't even see them, and so they go out because they're not locked in by our recognition of them. There's so much to this subject that we don't really understand, but I can tell you from, since the 70s, watching the curtains start to part on all of this enterology, the study of energy. What's around us? How do we affect it? Blah 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 blah. But it's now it's scientific stuff, that people find out, that they really look at it. They're studying it now. So it's a it we've made a turn somewhere along the line where you can have a business like you're talking about, and people, you might have them lining up
Yeah,
because
never know.
your house is the most important thing you'll ever buy.
Yeah, I mean, you're in that space for so much time, you and your family and your pets. So I want to check everything that goes into you, the air you breathe, the water. And I didn't even tell you everything I'm checking for. I mean, so there's other stuff. I mean, even excess CO2 I'll be checking for in the house because that matters. Maybe there's not enough airflow. That affects so much stuff as well. So yeah, that's why I called the company Home Health Inspections. And that's exactly what it is. So I do that, and yeah. And again, I've already done several of them here, and ours, and locally, and Mystical Wares, and it's all worth knowing. And I understand the part of it too, thinking, well, maybe I don't want to know because I don't want to know. You do, because everything I test for can be helped, removed, fixed, attenuated. So it's worth knowing that. I mean, and relatively easily, but I definitely know from the layman's, or not knowing that, oh shit, that was my water. That's a big deal thing. No, not necessarily. Or the room. Because like I said, even the radon thing, if you're living on top of, big radon, well, there's radon, there's certain fans and things that you can get. So there's always something you can do. But I'm going to start going, talking to realtors and let them know because, and I'll be in the, by the end of October, I'll actually be a certified home inspection agent for Washington State, which is the normal thing as well, that you go in and check for the foundation, the pipes, the plumbing, the electrical, blah, 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 all that as well. But I'm only talking about this is the first thing I'm doing here that I'm excited about because it's all this other stuff, the invisible stuff. But no, I will be a Washington State certified home inspector as well. So that's a thing. But This is what I'm talking about now. And I kind of went over the FLIR part quickly, but yeah, I have a whole FLIR device where I can, see heat loss anywhere around windows, doors, floors, whatever, all sorts of places. And there's reasons, a lot of reasons you want to know about that
Or
too.
an area where the heat's coming up. What's causing that? You might have a fire brewing.
And we did that, the fire inspectors and myself in my Darrington house, if you don't remember that, we looked through the wall. So I'm not getting the whole story here, but our house was in essence attacked there, and the circuit breaker was being overheated. And we had the FLIR device on the wall. It was the fire chief and I. And you could just see it. He says, "That's 3,000 degrees. We can't do anything. We're waiting for it to catch fire." And it didn't, but that was it. So, and we could see
Well,
that.
that was because your smart meter went bananas.
Yeah, exactly. So all that, and that was the wiring in the wall. Anyway, they couldn't have fired. They were there because they were there within minutes, if that. I mean, there's a little tiny town I lived in, Darrington. So there quickly made no difference. Everybody just stood and watched the show. Yeah, so yeah, again, we've already done that podcast. So it's worth doing the FLIR to find things like that, because maybe you do. Maybe if it's an older house, there's not such insulated wiring in it. And if that's the thing, well, yeah, then you're going to have more EMF coming out of the wall. So I'll literally, when I walk through these rooms, Nancy and Mark, it's not just, oh, go to the power outlet and the light switch and then your toaster oven and Xbox. No, I'm going to check the whole wall. You don't know what's in there and what was put there. In one of my houses, I found a, I don't even know the real name of it, but it was buried in the wall, and it was some, basically a Wi-Fi router built into there that was pre-set up for the house, and I wasn't told about it when I bought it. It was in a closet. And it was like 2 feet wide, and it wasn't being used. But that brings me back to what I was talking about, saying unplug your TV, so, or at least don't sleep next to your TV. So if that, like TV in my living room, no, I don't go out there and unplug the thing or hit the switch box. But if there was one in my bedroom near me, yes, I would do that one. So everybody pick and choose, look around in your own environment, and it's not a hardcore, thing you have to do on every of your device is what I'm kind of getting at here. But do look at it. Shoot, I forget what I was going to tell you there. But anyway, yeah, looking for those things in the doors and windows, because there's hot spots you don't want to sleep next to on that FLIR device, which is thermal imaging. Lead, I'll tell you that too. I'll check for lead, because you want to know, any house pre-1970 can have lead paint. And that could be 14 layers of paint over it. Doesn't matter. You need to, and yes, that will attenuate or stop much of it from coming out until you disrupt it or put a nail. And there's actually, believe it or not, depends where you live, limits on how old your house is, on how many holes you can put in that wall before you've now made too many lead particulates, accessible to the environment. So that's a thing as well. So I'll be testing for lead in different ways, so you'll at least know. And again, none of these things mean you got to get out of there. It means don't go putting 50 push pins in your wall, or back in in my day, you put posters everywhere with push pins. Don't do that. So, and then there's special paints you can put over it. So if it is an older house and you're not sure, well, then fine, no big deal. It can be helped. I'll give you a list if I, in here do this inspection for you and say, here's what you go buy or hire this company to do it, and they'll just put a special lead or a lead proofing paint. So it's not an issue. And then you need to check your, and I have air particulate meters that you want to check your vents. I mean, people maybe remember the air vents in their house that there's a filter that they have to replace more than every year, by the way. So everything you're breathing is going through that. And if you, it's a dirty thing, a filter, you're breathing that dirt the whole time, although you don't know it. So that's a thing. Not to mention the stuff that's in those vents or ducts, or depends on the house and how it's built, but they all have them to one degree or another, a place for air to enter the house, I'll put it that way. Well, those things need to be cleaned, and that's where the ozone comes in too, Nancy, because that's where a lot of fungus, mold, bacteria, and stuff lives, and you can't exactly, get a dust buster in there usually. That's a whole company that has a crawler that goes down there. We used to call them pigs, I don't know why, but I've done all that stuff too. So, but to clean the duct. And even that, it has to be sealed up on both ends. I don't want to get in this whole spiel, but because you don't want to then release, just like a chimney, I used to clean chimneys too. You don't want all that stuff in the chimney to come out. I'm jumping to a chimney one because it's easier visual, because I used to actually climb up on the house and do the whole chimney thing. That stuff can come out, so you want to make sure it goes the right way, and or we can ozone your air ducts if the I'll literally take a petri dish, stick it up in that duct. If your house is built that way, take that ambient reading in there and see what grows, and then let you know. And then if need be, again, it's not like, oh, the house is lost. No, that's why it's home health. Make it healthy. You can get stuff up in there, including shungite, by the way. So yeah, you clean the vents, get rid of the mold and stuff, and then yes, you add shungite nuggets. So I'll give you some of the answers for any one of these things. So for that one, and we can go backward. In fact, we'll probably get near the end of the podcast, so I should probably stop soon. You would want shungite nugget of some form or shape, if that's what you have, in the air vent, so that that air energy, it's a lot more than just air coming through there, is crossing that shungite, or shungite's in that environment. So that's something that you can do. Shungite has an effect on all sorts of things. So I babbled there, Nancy Mark, for like almost an hour and a half, so I better just stop. But that's the whole home health inspections, business I started and I'm doing. And then again, any one of you can do your same thing, because we need a whole lot of these type of businesses around here, not just checking foundations and plumbing and basic wiring. No, you need to know what's going on. Again, bring it back to your pets, because maybe Fluffy's cat bed or dog bed is sitting in that hot spot, and you just need to know it. I don't, and then the only other add-on, because I know Marco asked, he's great at doing that, is what's coming up. And not that I'm in the show right now, but I just want to mention this one thing is we're rescheduling. We had a little snafu scheduling mishap with oh shoot, I can't pronounce his name, but an Ian, I really probably shouldn't have brought it up then, but Ole Johansson, I believe his name is. So he's a doctor and a professor, EMF expert. So I'll be on the Power Couple podcast. I'll announce it and definitely let Mark know when it's going to be released, but we are rescheduling that. And I'm just now realizing that a lot of people probably didn't even know that that was already scheduled and didn't work out. But that's coming. So I don't know if you guys have any questions on that slew of stuff I talked about.
Yeah, is there a website for your building inspection? And is there such a thing as like people can call and you show up for some kind of free readings or measurements?
Yeah, the website is going to be, and it's not live yet, but it's homehealthinspections.com. It'll probably go live later today. Because there's a whole other website I'm doing as well. I'll just say I'm juggling a lot. But that'll be where they can schedule them as well. And I'll put some pamphlets out. I'm gonna put a lot of free stuff, because that's what I'm all about, is empowering others. Just give you a fish, teach you to fish. So I'm gonna on the homehealthinspections.com website, there'll be downloadable documents I'm putting together, and I'm making all this in the background myself now. So I'm not taking somebody else's stuff. I'm producing the PDFs, generating them, so you can print it out, do your own home health inspection to whatever degree you can. So I've already said, if you want the mold part, get on Amazon or wherever. You can do these things. So if there's not a me available in that area, but it will be that website, homehealthinspections.com. And I do commercial too, but there's not, a whole lot of interest in that, because a lot of them don't want to know the stuff going on in there. They're like, that you're the last guy I want. That was I'm serious. They're like, oh, hell no, don't tell me what's going on in there. I'm like, you're right, you don't want to know, because 20 feet outside your business, I was already, and I'm not even talking about, no, I'm on Shanghai Reality, saying be a little more free here. None of this, I was talking about the metaphysical or psychic stuff. I mean, yeah, if I'm doing it as well, as Mark already kind of alluded to, I'm going to do that stuff as well. So if I pick, depending, I'm going to choose the person, what they're open to. But just know that's not going to be lost to me either. I'm not going to inspect your house, whether you're into the woo-woo stuff or not, and let I'll just make fun of it, a heavier negative energy just kind of sit there. I'm going to deal with that as well. So there's other aspects that I'll be doing. But yeah, so that'll be a thing. Even the like what I'm looking at on my computer, you can't see, is the flyer I already made. I'll put that up there, so then any of you can print it out yourself for the information. And you go, oh, there's the, because I have photos, there's the device he's talking about that I can go get for next to nothing or whatever. And here's an explanation of radon, because he went too fast on the podcast for 50 things. So all that'll be there as well. And I think that's everything for me, other than 1 minute here on the shungite beehives. are doing very well. I'm not opening them right now for a couple of reasons. Take too long to get into. It's just not the time to open them. But they're doing great from all visuals outside, coming and going, running all over their shungite. That's a thing. Something keeps stealing a piece. I live out in the woods, so I don't know what's going on there. So I have lots of shungite though, so I can keep replacing it. But no, they're doing fine. I have no idea. So for the sponsors that are out there for this year's Shungite Beehives project, I don't know amounts, number. And again, as you all know, it was never about that anyway, but I haven't been inside to check on things because the important part is to make sure the bees are healthy. There is no colony collapse disorder, no sickness going on whatsoever. So they're doing fine. So that's just a quick update on the bees. And I'll try and get some video here soon. What I'm really doing is trying to set it up such that I can record live, and I have to do it from a distance because you don't want, again, routers and cell phones and all that kind of stuff up on these beehives. So I have to do it from a distance and try and get some footage of them. So I'm working on that to where maybe I can get some online and possibly live. So I'll keep you updated though.
And then people can go to mysticalwares.setmore.com for free weekly scalar healing. It happens every Friday, so sign up before Friday. You just put first name, last name, phone number, email, and put as many names as you want for the Friday healing. It's overall well-being is this week. And you made some posts. Actually, I'll start with this one. On brightyou.com, there's an EMF hazard summit. It happens yearly. It started on the 23rd, goes till the 1st, September 1st, free streaming. People can always purchase the lectures. A few of them are Dr. Jack Cruz's students. I found Dr. Cruz same time as I found Shungite 2019. The person running it is Nick Pinault. He's a Dr. Cruz student. That's how we first started this. And Dr. Leland Stillman. Let me see. Yeah, it's brightyou.com. People can sign up. And then let me see this other post you did. Oh, there's this one post by Sayer G. Crystal Healing, New Age Hoax or Leading Edge Science on his Substack. How Scalar Wave Physics Validates Ancient Crystal Wisdom. I put that in the Shungite Reality Facebook group. Just a quick read of it. IBM scientist Marcel Vogel held 100 plus patents in magnetic coatings and liquid crystals. His final research proving crystals could store and transmit human intention. Tesla discovered scalar waves. Modern physics uses phase conjugation. Your pineal gland contains piezoelectric crystals. The article explores the surprising science between crystal healing, including how scalar waves explain quote unquote impossible healing effects, why crystal acts as biological phase conjugate mirrors, the Hutchinson effects classified crystal research, FDA registered devices using Tesla's scalar technology. The bridge between science and spirit isn't being built, it's being revealed. SayerG.substack.com. Sayer's SA. YERJI. But if you just put in the title I gave initially, it should show up. And I put that in the Shungite Reality Facebook group. Derek, you posted a ResearchGate article last week on cancer incidence versus population average sleep duration on spring mattresses. The quote was sleeping on a mattress with metal springs can amplify EMF's exposure, potentially increasing the risk of cancer. And you see another reason to wear or keep Shungite close to you while sleeping. Conclusion of the study is body resonant radiation may influence health negatively if concentrated by metal spring mattresses during sleep at night.
And there's more on that one. Just so you know, I didn't have a chance to put a lot. So I actually thought I'd pull that off. It went both ways. So Shungite's always good to have around you, of course. But there was some of the study that showed, depending on the spring mattress, where it caused less. So that part of it, that's why I was then got more into it. And that's actually the professor that I'll be chatting with here, I don't know, probably next week or so, who did it. So I was going to do an update on that. Where is that one, that post at, Mark? Is that?
You struck at reality. You posted on the 19th there.
Yeah, okay.
I'll give it to you. That's the article that I wanted to talk about, but we don't have any time to do that. Let me just get it for you, so I don't forget. Yeah, I just want to say that that particular article, which is very long and full of just amazing information, is actually the first one of two. So, something to really get your mind around is, I mean, I've been looking at it for a couple of days now. All right, so.
And I'll get it up there and update. No, it's I found it and I'm going to edit it and I'll get it back up there because there's stuff that has to be added. We just don't have time to get into right now, put it that way. But anybody can
Yeah.
Google that information and find these any of these studies on anything. But there's more to that study is what I'm getting at here that I need to talk about and release. So it's just easier to do it at one time. Just one of the 20 things I'm juggling. I think,
So
Mark, I know you have.
I put in chat the link I have. It's probably the same one you've got, but it's there. So okay. So Mark, is there something you wanted to get into, or are you still want you got questions, or keep going? Sorry, I interrupted.
So regarding that article, what is the Shungite thing to buy? Because what I do, at least what I've been doing, especially if you go traveling, go to hotels, Airbnbs, things like that, is the Shungite silver magnet, and you put it on the metal frame or like the screw of the bed, something that's metallic. And if people did that, what would happen, and what is the actual remedy for that you guys recommend?
Yeah, that's a good idea of putting. So if you're talking traveling, like you said, and you can put a magnet on there, and I get that, a lot of beds are just wood. So either what I would really do is if I'm traveling is bring a piece of Shungite rubber and then just lay on the thing. Now, no matter what, you have Shungite and silver around you, and you're less likely to forget it for one thing, but not that that'd be horrible to leave it there. But I would use a Shungite rubber, and then that brings us to ask, but the effect is exactly what that documented study shows that's on the science page on mysticalwares.com, so Shungite Science. And it's the same study where I did a quick little video analyzing it. But the right when you introduce Shungite in whatever form on your body, again, they did it in various ways from pendants to insoles and shoes to a sticker, all had an effect, and or Shungite rubber would have the exact same effect. They just didn't know about it or use it in that study. And by the way, there has been since a documented Shungite study on Shungite rubber. I don't know if you guys know about that or knew about it. They don't do it with silver like we do, so it's not the cosmic silver Shungite, but it's Shungite in rubber. And they tested
Who
different gases.
did this, and what was
It's
their?
on. I have to pull it up, but it's on my website. I mean, anybody listening can get on search engine, type Shungite rubber scientific study or something like that. Type research, and it'll come up. And you can be ready. It's done. I don't know. Again, I work with too many of these studies, so I can't even tell you the year. But it's been done, and it affected the elasticity of it and all sorts of things, in a good way. But of course, we're talking, bioenergetically. So help heal in our energy bodies, you can say, is how we use it, where they would be looking at different aspects of it. But it was a thing. Shungite literally affected the rubber, their form of Shungite rubber. So, and bringing back to what Mark was talking about, so traveling or whatnot, I would have Shungite rubber around you, and then just like again, the study showed that once in the study, it was a cell phone against the ear for so long, and then they introduced Shungite after that, and they tested how long until the person's, I'll use my words, biofield or energy field restored itself from the damage from the cell phone. And what they found was the person not only regenerated energetically, and this was measurable. This was a study, everybody. It wasn't me and Mystical Wares doing some test on my cell phone. The person overcompensated. All the participants did, and they do was a couple studies. So energetically, they're again in our terms, their energy field or aura regenerated and strengthened. Kind of like anytime if you have to lift a heavy object, even if you it's a not a good heavy object, meaning the cell phone against your ear is not good energy. And muscle analogy here, you pick up a heavy object, well, your muscles can't help but get stronger from doing that. So that's what's happening by your energy body's having to compensate for the damage the cell phone's doing, the heavy object, by overcompensating. So now you're energetically stronger. And that was a measurable thing. The tympanic membrane, which is your eardrum, was strengthened or healed itself, your vagus nerve, your heart rate variability, the time interval between heart rates. And again, I can go on and on, but all those things overcompensated. You became stronger just by introducing shungite to your energy field. So I would have that on you while you're traveling so that any high energy environments that you're in, and good luck on knowing when that happens, you're overcompensating. You're healing yourself continually. That was a long answer for just what you're talking about for traveling. I get it, but
Yeah, and your store for back to school, people can buy. I mean, the shungite silver doesn't have to be expensive. You could get the resin animal versions for $10, $12, keychains, neck pendants, necklaces, shape of unicorn. I had this fun idea of, because, God, the universe is everything, and then unicorn as in uni universe, and I'm gonna use that as like kind of my totem of when I want to manifest or synchronicities happen. So that's just me as far as my own mythology. And you also have like dragons and I think you have different animal shapes too in resin people can choose from. And yep, real affordable. It feels like plastic rubbery, but it's good to put on like a belt loop. And then kids' backpacks, because you have the towers in the schools now, and then the Wi-Fi is who knows how close. And then everybody's got tablets, and you got the fluorescent lights. It's just madness. So every kid should have even the S4 powder, the silver shungite powder can be put in shoes. Yeah, endless ways to armor people going about. You guys want to comment on that?
I think you did a pretty good description. Yeah, doing all that. I like the unicorn idea. That's good. And even just to add on too, even everybody, the stickers you can use because we sell and or you can laminate your own. But the shungite stickers, I'd say laminate them first, but those can be put in a little pocket of your backpack or stuck in a folder. Often there's those inserts on some of the folders. So there's spots and places those can be put if. If that's and then they're waterproof that way too. So just an idea, but
Yeah,
did you
Shungite Reality Rumble channel has the blood work by an RN from, what was it, 2018, showing how blood looks like around the cell phone and then after, oh, that's from work, after the sticker is on you and an increase of stem cells. Oh, Nancy, can you talk about the Say What show? It was really good as far as you talked about Richard Bartlett, the person we talked about on Cosmic Soup the other week of and then this whole thing of the different layer. I mean, it was just a really good show. Different layers of the soul of cesarean birth versus normal birth. It was a just really good show as far as what the topics ranging of source, the universe, structure of one's purpose. And then yeah, the thing with matrix energetics, and it was pretty cool that Jan knew about it too. Yeah, so just wanted to promote that show. And Nancy.
Well, I'm not going to go through the show because we don't have time here, but it is an amazing show. It's got Ani Avedisian, who's a shaman, trained shaman, who's amazing. She's got stories up the Cahuzza. And it was, and Jan Shaw is there. Say What Show. We did it Saturday. It's up in Rumble and on the podcast and in the archives. It is, especially if you are concerned about children and the Caesarean effect that, I mean, I knew nothing about, I never even gave it any thought, but Ani explains why for the development of the soul and the 3D body, that relationship, that the Caesarean is very, very bad. But she also gives sort of like hints as to what can be done. So if you have a child that was born by cesarean and seems to be having a lot of problems, you really should listen to that show, because those problems may not be anything of a 3D nature. It's a fact that they, what she said was that when a baby is born naturally, the process of going through the birthing canal actually is where the forgetfulness comes in, where you, I think of it as amnesia, that your past relationships, everything is just taken out. So when the child is born, they are essentially a blank slate in this new life experience. But when you do a cesarean and the child has not gone through that forgetfulness type of thing, they are seeing a different reality altogether, because memories from their past lives, memories from being spirit, all of that is bubbling up inside them. It was never erased. It was a profoundly important subject for those people that might have a kid that's having trouble, and find out, were they born by cesarean? And if so, make sure you listen to that. And the date on that would have been, let me see, I think it's, let me just look here. I want to tell you the date so that you can go back at any time. The 23rd, yeah, I thought that was it. 23rd of August. Go back to that, 25. Go back to that, and it starts out in the beginning. You'll hear it not too far into the show. It's in the first hour. But it, we got we had fun. We had fun. We talk about the command center on the moon off of Jupiter, the Galactic Federation command center. Real woo-woo stuff. I mean, that's what we do on that show. Woo-woo. Politics and woo-woo. Anything else, guys?
Yeah, adding to that, it's how sometimes we dream. I'm big on dream work. We dream and some of the things are purposefully erased, and you guys go into that and that procedure and what is happening in the other planets. And even Catherine Fitz talked about the ringmakers of Saturn, where there's something that looks like a ship collecting Saturn's dust, like eating it or something. Pretty massive. In terms of reaching Richard, how does one tune in? 'Cause I'm gonna be posting that to his main circle, the social media thing he set up, posting that Rumble show where he showed up. How can people tune in to both of you guys, like
They
to
just
talk to
have
people?
to ask. He's
Okay.
willing to, he's willing to show up for anybody that asks, but the person has to be prepared to deal with somebody on the other side who's very, very powerful. If you can't accept that, then you're probably not going to get connected. Although he also said, if you can't seem to connect with me, you probably don't need me. You know, so it's just a matter of, and I said it throughout the whole conversation with him, that it really depends on the person asking. But as far as him, you don't have to go to me or you or somebody else and say, can you ask? But no, just put it out there. Richard, I need some guidance. And then you have to, you know, work your way through it. You might be able to explain that better to somebody. He's on the other side, Derek, and his students and people that followed him felt kind of deserted when he died. He died very suddenly, and yet he did not make a decision to leave. It was that he got excited about something that he had just learned, and he just blew out his body. His 3D body was kind of shot. And so he ended up on the other side, and when he got there, he was kind of like, I don't want to be here. But then he realized, no, this is where I need to be, because he then could have more direct relationships with his students. And that's what I think Mark is, how do they make the, I can't tell you how. It's something that you have to develop yourself, but maybe Derek can give you some hints. Derek?
No, I'm right here. I'm gonna have to probably go. I just got really, really nauseous for some reason, to be totally honest. I'm having issues.
Huh.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, we can save it for another podcast.
Yeah, why don't we probably do that?
Yeah, and get more into it later.
Very interesting. See if you can find why. We
Oh, I
started
will.
talk.
I will be. It's just
We
hard right now. Yep.
started talking about Richard Bartlett, his doctor, Matrix Energetics.
Yeah, okay. Now I'll look into him.
Yeah, he was from Seattle too, not too far from you, but great. Yeah, awesome show. Thank you, Derek. A lot of helpful stuff, and then looking forward to the update. I did find that shungite rubber thing, but it was more for industrial uses. I'll see what's postable on and put in the shungite reality. But like you said, just type in shungite rubber and then research it'll come up.
I get
Okay.
one last comment I'll tell you because I already got input. It's when I so when you guys are talking about him or anybody, basically, I'm reading. That's just it happens no matter what. It's not even an intentional thing, because I'm just listening. So then I start tuning in, and I'll tell you something was put around him so that people like me have issues trying to tune in. That's what happened. So. But I don't even know anything going on right now, which you were talking about, because again, name was new to me and all of that, so I'm gonna have to look into it. But I'll put it this way: they're trying not to let some of us connect for some reason. So it's not that that person is negative or anything. It's somebody's putting up a little block, and that's when I hit it. Is when bam, nausea hit me right away, and it's not the first
Well,
time it's
he
happened.
I think he would have done that himself.
Don't even know anything yet. I'm just letting you know
Yeah.
now that I'm
Yeah.
out of it. It's past. It's instant. But I
Right.
had to work, take a second. I'm like, oh, I see what happened. And that's so I'm like, okay, so now I'll look further. So, but that's what happened to everybody behind the scenes here. It didn't go really quickly because literally, guys just talking about it. And I start looking and then boom, I thought I was going to like grab my trash can. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, he's very powerful.
Yeah. So just, yeah, because that's not typical that I'm like, not right.
Well, it was the most recent Cosmic Soup. And in the first hour, we played a tape of his that he gave on his birthday. And a month later, this is when he died. So then we're doing the show. And all of a sudden, I'm like, uh-oh, something's happening. The whole, everything changed. And I was reading something and I turned my focus to what's happening around me, and he was standing right beside me, and so he was he then he, I didn't know him. I mean, the whole first thing I had ever heard from him was that first hour that I put together, but he was able to talk to me so I could answer questions for Mark, and but I was first off, he's very funny. He's very humorous, and but he's also very aware of the intricacies of the complex cosmic reality we live in. So he would have I would have done the same thing. You would have done the same thing. I don't want to be bothered by people that don't know me, maybe, and I don't want to be po bothered by powerful, energetic people. Just. You want to talk to the little, I'm not saying little in a derogatory way, but the person that needs the information. He's a teacher. So, anyway, we done?
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
so.
it's a good cap. It's interesting because as far as his website goes, I mean, he has the books and then CD sets and they're like a box set to learn from, but people that want to go in depth, this is the last day basically to order stuff from him, at least for now. But like you said, the channel or the channel, but the transmission can be open to him if people reach out and want to, learn more from him. And then I see him in dreams all the time. And work with the students in DreamWorks. So, yeah, thank you, Nancy and Derek. Great show. And looking forward to the website, Derek, when that opens up.
Yep, appreciate it. Yeah, good show. Yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in.
Okay. Be safe, everybody out there, and we'll see you next time.
You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.